There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com. I also write for all the magazine titles in Greenspun Media Group, including, but not expressly, The Sunday.
The Sunday, which comes out on the Saturday.
Sometimes on the Saturday.
I totally jumped that cue.
By the end of, well, it's almost too late to do it. We're going to have that shtick down.
The
Sunday.
First time we did it, it was perfect.
Well, it was accidental.
Yeah.
This is Tricia McCrone.
I'm punchy today.
Punchy. What's going on with you? What's happening?
I haven't slept a lot lately. I don't know what's going on with, like, it's like I just am. I don't know if it's the holidays. I don't know what it is, but it seems like I've had a lot to do early mornings.
You've been running with Wayne. Like,
yes.
Wayne's been doing Wayne stuff. Tell us about what's going on.
I mean,
Wayne will wear you out, I'm telling you.
Well, so he was in Laughlin Saturday night.
Tell me about Laughlin. Now, before you start talking, Laughlin is one of my favorite places. I dig it. It's on the river.
Very cool.
It's very cool. It's got, nine casinos right on the water, including the Colorado Bell, which is shaped like a boat, but not actually a boat. Folks, it doesn't leave the dock, so know this. And I saw Jason Aldean there when they opened their event center earlier this year, and it was just a terrific time. And Wayne played the Edgewater.
Yes, and I mean,
so
okay,
how'd that
so
go?
I had been, I think maybe I'd been to Laughlin once before, just like went in
and
saw a show.
Never heard you talk about
Laughlin. No, because I never really saw it. I think I just like showed up and went and walked into a showroom, and then I left. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those situations where I wasn't there actually during the day.
That's a big difference in the day.
So this Saturday, Wayne was performing there, and we had a lot of people, because you know, you get so many people coming in for the rodeo. You have
right.
so many friends, so they all wanted to go to the show. So, and I mean, it was this giant tent at the Edgewater. It was like an outdoor. It looked like a giant tent, but it was a structure of some sort, and it was easily a couple thousand people. I believe. I mean,
right.
there was lots and lots of people. And it was much sold out.
Cool.
Because Wayne really hasn't done a show in Vegas since Once Before
yeah,
I Go. So it's like everybody kind of, you know, so there were so many people that I hadn't, that, you know, that are fans that I would see, you know, night after night at Once Before I Go when it was at
yeah,
Tropicana
last,
that I saw there.
The last known show that I've known that he's done in Clark County, because Laughlin's in Clark County, was the Trop.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been in the
Just
county
corporate
at all.
Events.
Yeah,
know,
the
and,
ticketed
and, like appearances.
Like, we can
yeah,
go,
like
yeah.
actual. Mm-hmm. So it was so funny to see all these people that I haven't seen now in, you know, almost 5 years, 4.5 years. So it was fun and it was a beautiful day. The people there were so nice. It's very cool the way it all lines up, and they have an outlet area right across
yep.
the way. I couldn't believe how close it was.
Yeah, it's about an hour and 15 minutes,
yeah,
right?
It was. I was following the person who you once said is a terrible driver. Wayne Newton.
I have to tell you that we were talking about this.
Oh, we tell the story all the time.
We were talking about this week when my mother was in town, and she had a friend of hers, a new friend of our family, who she works with in her profession, which is she's a speech pathologist. And this woman does music training for people who have brain disorders and Alzheimer's patients, mostly in dementia. That's their career passion. So they were visiting, we're talking to people and, you know, talking about music therapy and music. And my mom was telling her friend about the shows we'd seen in Las Vegas. She goes, the first big show we saw here really was Wayne Newton. And she was telling this woman about the I got to know Wayne Newton.
Yes.
And the story about, my mom had it down, man. I know she hasn't read this since it came out. But she goes, Wayne Newton, it should be noted, is a bad driver.
That was the first line of the Millennium column that Katz did. Spending the day with Mr. Las Vegas in Las Vegas. Yes, and it was a crazy.
So
day,
was
but
he
funny.
Going slow or?
Oh, have you? Oh, come on!
Or all over
Honestly,
the place?
Yeah, no,
he
wasn't
fast.
All over the place. He's just, you know, it was because, you know, it was. Let's just say we got there a lot faster than I thought that we would.
What's he driving? What was he in?
Oh, he was in the Escalade because he had all the people,
right.
And then I was driving.
So it's like a military.
Yeah, and then
operation.
I was driving their Lexus behind them with other more people. So it was.
I love that.
Yeah, it was hysterical. So it was like, but I couldn't believe how many people came down to Laughlin from Vegas that were just turning around, driving back. Some decided to stay the night, and it was random how it was a fun little place.
It is. It's cool. I mean, Laughlin is a.
Yeah, I would definitely go back for fun.
Yeah, they've definitely a lot of investment. You know, the Las Vegas, the LVCVA and Las Vegas events is involved in promoting and booking events in Laughlin. That's part of their umbrella. So they're paying very close attention. It's an arm of Las Vegas. In fact, you used to be able to get travel packages that were both Las Vegas and Laughlin
years
ago.
But you know what was weird is that as you're driving through, what is the town that Harry Reid is from?
Searchlight.
As you go through Searchlight, it's like all of a sudden it's like 25 miles an hour or something. So it's like you have everybody going, and then all of a sudden it's dead stop.
You don't want to get pulled over there because you will get ticketed.
Yeah,
you're going 26.
I know. So so all of a sudden everybody stopped. Like I'm zooming, and then I'm like, okay, somebody must know that if you do anything that there's an issue. But I do have to say, also, I want to throw out there that Saturday morning was the Great Santa
Great
Run
Santa
from
Run?
Tropicana,
which I missed.
I mean, from Tropicana, from Opportunity
from
Village.
Not
on Tropicana. And it was so incredible that you look out as I was standing there on stage. Wayne was there, and Holly Madison, Olivia Newton-John, Chippendales, and Mayor Goodman. And it was so we're standing there on stage, and we're looking out at the thousands. I mean, it was like, I think, 15,000 Santas.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But then they had Wayne and the mayor leading them, right, to start the run. So as it's myself, my sister, Kat, and my niece, Lauren, and Jason, Holly's manager, all of a sudden, as we start to follow them, there is a sea. They all start, like, lining in because they're all pros at this. Before you know it, we are, like, in the center of the Santas. We have no idea. We're like, we're going to be running this thing in a second.
it was almost scary.
Yeah, it was crazy. But it was such – Linda Smith and everybody at Opportunity Village, it was such an incredible event. And, wow, talk about Vegas coming out to support a charity.
Absolutely.
They represented. And that comes along in line with the holiday season and everything, what were our guests today.
Yeah, we're talking charity, more charity, by the man who founded Monday's Dark here in Las Vegas. He's the co-star of Rock of Ages at Palazzo in Venetian. His name's Mark Chinook, and he's going to be talking about what's going to happen Monday night at the joint. So stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
This is Jerry Lopez from Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns and Vegas the Show, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
Ramesses, don't take this any further.
Don't take this any further? What?
Do not take this any further.
Are you quite sure about that? Get your hand off it or use it now.
That's Christian Bale as Moses and Joel Edgerton as the Pharaoh Ramses in Ridley Scott's biblical epic Exodus, Gods and Kings. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Exodus lacks the boldness and personality of Darren Aronofsky's fellow 2014 biblical film Noah, instead plodding dutifully through the story of Moses' liberation of the Hebrew slaves from Egypt. Not that Ridley Scott and the four screenwriters don't deviate from and embellish the biblical narrative, but they do so only in service of typical blockbuster bombast. The cast full of recognizable Hollywood faces is distracting and ethnically dubious, and the performances are broad, failing to convey the intended seriousness. I give Exodus, Gods and Kings 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the comedy Top 5, written and directed by Chris Rock, who stars as movie star Andre Allen.
You happy?
I'm happy. I'm just a little stressed out from this movie, that's all.
Oh, why are you stressed? Baby, you did great work. You murdered that
Thank role. You. Thank you.
Okay? Where's my kiss?
Do we have to do this on camera? Let's just get off camera.
Let's go back in the car.
Top 5 takes place over the course of a single day as Andre promotes his new movie, prepares for his wedding to a reality TV star played by Gabrielle Union, and is profiled by a New York Times reporter played by Rosario Dawson. At best, Top 5 is like a cross between Funny People and Before Sunrise, with smart observations about settling in both career and romance. At worst, it's a lame romantic comedy with a contrived third-act twist, gimmicky celebrity cameos, and some ill-advised subplots. I give Top 5 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
There's 1,000 pretty women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Welcome back. On the phone with us now from the west side of Las Vegas is one of the stars of Rock of Ages. He plays Lonnie in the production over at Palazzo Theater. But Monday night, he's going to be hosting something he's almost as well known for as that character. Monday's Dark, the monthly charity event, is celebrating its year anniversary at the Joint at the Hard Rock Hotel. It's a big deal. It's going to be an epic night. And to tell us all about it is the one and only Mark Chinook. Mark, how are you doing, guys?
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being with us in this capacity. So tell us what's your day been like so far? Just give us a taste of what you've been doing on behalf of Monday's Dark.
We are in the process of finalizing our amazing silent auction table. We've got about 90 items up for grabs. We thought because it's, you know, holidays and Christmas, we need to have a really cool auction table, and we've got every show represented. We've got staycations, we've got vacations, we've got fine art. We've got Paul Shortino's cane from Rock Vault.
Is that the fine art?
So I've been driving around collecting and more importantly delivering tickets to charities so that they could have them in hand to get to their supporters, because you know this is all about them and 100% of the proceeds go to those charities. And so I've been driving around all day and trying to make sure that this event goes off with a big bang.
So we have the previous, how it works is 13 charities appearing from the course of Monday's Dark so far, and then the next 12 will be represented for the upcoming year, right?
Yeah, we started Monday's Dark in November of 13, so right. There's been one local Vegas charity featured every month since then, so there's 13 charities coming back, and we are going to release the 11 charities for 2015.
11.
We're going to feature a charity January through November of next year, and then have another big party to celebrate our second anniversary in December. So we're going to feature
24 charities. Just because I'm blonde doesn't mean anything.
One event in December, this coming Monday. It's the first time ever, I think, that 24 local Vegas charities will be celebrated at one event.
It's just a lot of charities in the room. Give us a sampling, if you would, Mark, just an example of some of those who have been spotlighted so far.
A couple of the big names in town, obviously Opportunity Village and AFAN. The Safe House, which is a smaller charity, a shelter
wonderful,
for women,
wonderful.
The Shine Family Foundation, the Douglas J. Green Memorial Foundation, the NSPCA, the Shepherd Rescue, His Love Street Pantry, and then I can't really tell you about next year because that's the whole point, is we're going to reveal the 11 that we're going to feature next year, but I can tell you that Monday's Dark, since we've started, has been contacted by almost 60 Vegas charities wanting to be featured for a month. So the hardest part of my job in the last couple of months has been preparing for next year and really doing, you know, my homework on all of the charities. And it was the hardest part because I wanted to help them all, essentially, but I had to pick 11 because I only do this once a month. And I'm just really excited about Monday night. We've already sold out of our VIP tickets. There are only general admission tickets available. And when I say general admission, they're amazing seats. They're, you know, Joint theater seats. We're going to be in the Joint, and every seat's an amazing seat.
Right.
So the $20 tickets are still available, but all of the high-end VIP tickets are gone.
And where do people find the $20 tickets?
Online, mondaysdark.com, or you can go to the Hard Rock website. And I have some in hand, and they're in my glove box, so I'll come to your
so
door.
So if we see you on the road, we should just stop you and say, hey, here's 20 bucks.
I should get one of those magnets for the side of my car that says Monday's Dark, have tickets.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you can follow the Hot Babes mobile around.
That's right, man.
Get a lot of attention that way. I remember when you first started in Monday's Dark, and you started talking about this concept, Mark. It seemed very far flung, and it's one of those things that sounds good maybe around the bar, but then you know a couple days later, it kind of fizzles. Yeah. This thing really took off.
It was in LA, right? Originally, you started this in LA.
Yeah. Tell us about the genesis of this.
Well, my wife and I moved out from Los Angeles for Rock of Ages, and we used to just. In Los Angeles, when we were there, we used to just get our friends together once a month to just sort of get together and hang out. And what we would do is we'd just go to a bar. We'd say to the bar owner, hey, man, I'm going to bring 15 performers. We're going to do just a goofy night with a band. Do you mind? And the bar owners never really had a problem with it because I'd be bringing my friends from television shows and other Broadway shows. And it would just be a cool industry night. And when we got out here, the community in Vegas is so awesome, and I mean this, and this isn't BS, that the entertainment community in Vegas is unlike anything I've ever experienced. The support, the love, the understanding of what we do as entertainers, is just so much more appreciated here than either New York or L.A. And I can say that and go on the record. I really don't care. I spent a decade in New York, a decade in L.A., and the community is so tight here and so giving to each other, which is rare. You know, usually there's the whole competition factor and, you know, I was doing this or I was doing that. There's always an I in front of it. Mm-hmm. And here that it really doesn't matter because I think Vegas understands that in order for the city to be successful, the strip and the entertainment scene needs to be successful. It really does drive Vegas. And so when we got out here, we sort of took that same idea of what we were doing in L.A., but really wanted to make it something that could give back. And it really took the idea to the next level. And the minute we added the charity element to it where the proceeds and all of the proceeds went to the charity, it really, really became a hit. And people got it and understood what it was about. And that's why we're going into the joint on Monday and celebrating all of these great charities and all of these people that work so hard to help people in Vegas, because that's it. That's what it's about.
Who are we going to see on stage? I mean, I know this is a long list of performers.
It's a great, great lineup. The show's going to be, I think, about an hour and 40 minutes. We're going to keep it tight. But what we've done this month, I normally host every month, but I'm going to sort of step aside, and I've asked, you know, various entertainers and personalities in Vegas to come and present, and what that entails is simply just doing a recap of what the charity was that we featured and introduce a performance. And we've got Frankie Moreno from The Strat, also from The Strat, the whole entire cast of Pinup, including Claire Sinclair, are going to come and perform. We've got Blake Lewis from American Idol, who's coming to perform. BBR is performing. Sean and John Scott, the amazing tap dancers, are coming to perform. We've got Kalani Coconuts, who's one of the best burlesque girls in the nation. And
I'm looking forward to that act.
And then I've got a 10-piece band, full horn section, grand piano being delivered in the morning. And the best part about this event is Chapman Chrysler is my first official corporate sponsor, and they are giving away a car. We're going to have a Jeep Patriot parked inside the joint. You can buy a key, and only one key will open the car, and you're going to take it home. You're going to win a one-year lease on the vehicle, tax-free. All you got to do is have insurance and pay for gas.
Yeah, you spoke about the community of Las Vegas. This is an example of the small-town quality. I was at SLS.
Yeah,
getting my mother checked in, who was coming to visit me, and I was walking through the casino, and I ran into you guys just after you secured this deal with the Jeep.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable happened. Day, and I'll know by the end of the day today. But Zappos as well is coming on board to help with the party. I will know more in terms of what capacity, but the word has gotten out there, and it's really a cool thing to see the people who truly care about Vegas come on board with this. And it's same as you guys. You know, you're having me on the show because you get it, you understand what the project's about, and it's people like you guys that have continued to support the event, show your love for it. And really, I owe what it is today to, you know, you guys, essentially, because without the support of the community and the people involved, we wouldn't be talking right now.
Did it take you off guard, Mark, the response that this effort received? Because even I wasn't aware of how many charities would be in play once this thing started. I mean, when you talk about 60, I mean, yeah. I'm exposed to a lot of charities in the city. I didn't realize there were that many formal organizations who had the you know the mechanism to reach out and ask for help. It's
yeah.
astonishing to me how many there are. Were you surprised by that?
I was. And what's great about it too is that there are a ton of mom and pop shops essentially out there. People who are helping people out of their garage per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you think of a small business owner, this is no different, right? There are people out there who just want to help people, and they're legitimate. They're on the up and up. They have their 501c3 status. They're tax-exempt corporations that are doing good work for people. And, you know, one of the biggest surprises for me this past year was calling the Safe House. And, I bring it up a lot, but they're a shelter for battered women. And we hear about this all the time in the news, especially with, you know, I watch ESPN every night, and you see it mm-hmm. on ESPN all the time with everything with the NFL that's gone
yeah.
on and you know, various incidences with battered women. And this organization, when I called them on the phone, I said, hey, can I speak with Annette? And Annette handles all their development. And I said, it's Mark Chinook from Rock of Ages. I want to let you know that I want to use Safe House as a featured charity this year. And there was a hold on the phone. She started crying. She said, Mark, it's not about the 10 grand or 12 grand you're going to raise for me. It's about the awareness. People don't know we exist. Mm-hmm. And so that's the coolest thing for me, is to find these like really cool small charities who don't have the budgets, you know, because we raise about 10 grand in a 90-minute show for the charity. And let me tell you, $10,000 to Opportunity Village might not be a lot of money for them because they operate at such a high level, but 10 grand to the Safe House is like 10 million to Opportunity Village.
I hosted a little holiday event for Safe House two or three years back, and I was able to meet some of the people that they help.
Yeah.
And hearing their stories from Safe House, I was just blown away. And until someone had asked me if I would take part in this charity to host a little thing, I had never heard of it either. And I was blown away about what they do for these women and children and how they basically get them out of situations that could end deadly. That are deadly situations. And
they absolutely are deadly. And we're seeing more and more of it. It's crazy. We just saw another murder suicide of
crazy?
A young woman. And it's everything. Now, what's really been cool for my wife and I is that by doing this project, we've surrounded ourselves on a daily basis with people who are really cool. You know, if you operate a charity, you're not a pain in the butt. You know, you're not an a-hole, so to speak. You're a pretty cool cat. Mm-hmm. You know, so what's been awesome is that on a monthly basis, I'm dealing with a new charity and really cool people who just want to help others. And that's been a really cool experience. Like, there's no negativity in this because everybody knows that we're trying to do something really, really good. And that's been the really cool aspect about it. It's just, I've met now 24 heads of charities here in town, and they're all awesome people. Mm-hmm. And then their staff and their development staff and their fundraising, they're all just great people. And the volunteers, a lot of these charities, there's no paid staff. It's just a bunch of volunteers that get together and try to make a difference. And so it's been cool. And I'm just, blessed that we've been successful in what we've been trying to do.
You know, we've gone through a stretch here in this holiday season, and I've written about this, where we've had a lot of charity events. Either they're annual or they're just starting. I've been to a few of them, not only yours, but we were at the Imagine Dragons. Tyler Robinson Foundation has just started. They raised a couple $100,000 in a weekend at the Hard Rock. Jeff Civilico with Win-Win that has jumped its donations from $40,000 a couple of years ago to about $80,000 in his show at the Rio. And it just seems to me like there's something in the air that there's a lot of philanthropic activity. Yes. We just had the great Santa Run for Opportunity Village that Dishy was at with Wayne Newton. And that's an annual event. They do incredible work over there. It just seems like I don't know if we're just more aware of it or if it's happening at a higher level. But it seems like as you've come into the city, there's been a lot of activity in the charity area. And you've been at the center of that.
I just think there's so much crap going on in today's world that people are starting to take a little inventory personally of what they've got going on at home, at work. And I think we've come a long way as a nation, as a community, that I think we're starting to see the bigger picture and what's really important. And as entertainers, as an actor, I know I've had really big ups and downs. You know, it's not like you graduate from school with a degree and then you're guaranteed a job in this business. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a lawyer and I go practice law, or I'm not a doctor and I go become a doctor. I'm an actor and I go bartend, until I get a gig. So I've been there. I've been in the trenches, and I anticipate going back into the trenches. You know, Rock of Ages isn't going to last forever, and I have to go get another job.
Yeah, we found that out on Broadway.
I said to myself that
I'm going to do whatever I can and make the most of this opportunity that I've been given with the show, because, and I have to stress, without Rock of Ages, this wouldn't be possible. Rock of Ages has given me a home, it's given me a voice, it's given me an incredible job and a fun job to be a part of every night. And they have given me this opportunity, and so I said when I got here, and it didn't take long, I was going to make a difference and do whatever I could. And I'm glad it worked out, man. Just really glad it worked out.
Speaking of Rock of Ages, were you shocked to discover that it is going to be gone from Broadway?
No, New York's an amazing, amazing place. Rock of Ages lasted in New York for 6 years, and for this kind of a show to be there for 6 years is incredible with the amount of competition that goes on for space. You got to understand, there's only so many Broadway theaters, and a lot of people want in those theaters for shows. And so it gets to a point where there ends up becoming competition and bidding wars to try and get into spaces when shows decide, hey, we may go. And so there's all sorts of deals going on, front end, back end, you name it, with producers, with theater owners, saying, hey, this show is doing well, but, you know, it had a great, great run. I think it's in the top 28 of longest Broadway musicals. And for Rock of Ages to be in that company is pretty incredible. We celebrate our second anniversary here next week. Rock of Ages will turn two. Rock of Ages Las Vegas turns two next week. We've just passed 700 performances, and our tickets are on sale through December 2015. So,
wow.
You know, I think the show is a perfect fit for Las Vegas. It's really, really great. I think it's actually a better fit for Vegas than it is for New York. So hopefully we get a long, nice long run like they did in New York. But, you know, I'm here for a long haul, man. I love Las Vegas, and if we do discover one day that Rock of Ages is going to close its doors here, I'm definitely going to do whatever I can in my bag of tricks to keep myself here and jump into another show or produce my own show. And I love it here. I want to stay here as long as I can.
You know, you're in a unique position, Mark, not only for your community involvement, but with your history of performing in musical theater in various places and now in Las Vegas for a couple of years. I was just on the phone yesterday with Bob Anderson, who's bringing in a Frank Sinatra tribute into the hotel, into the next door to you.
Yeah, and, we're excited that he's coming.
Yeah, what do you think about that type of effort? And another show that I've been covering a lot and will be covering is Showstoppers, which is a series of Broadway numbers over at Wynn Las Vegas. Do you think that do you sense that there might be a pendulum shift back toward more traditional musical theater and big orchestras and that kind of treatment in this city? Do you feel that from your position as a star?
I don't necessarily know that it's a musical theater shift, but I do think it's a live music singer-driven shift. I think people are more entertained there. I think there's been an influx of, you know, the Cirque shows and things like that, that people want to see people up there being honest. I think it all, for me as an actor, I love when I see something that's just honest and it's not so much about the show and the crazy effects, as opposed to somebody just up there being honest and letting me into that experience with them. I think there's something neat there that I think Vegas was missing for a little while, and we're starting to go back to it. Because, like I said before, there's a lot of junk going on in the world, and when you come into a space for 2 hours and you've paid to be there, it's our job as entertainers to make you forget about what's going on for a little while and just let you enjoy and experience something really unique and different. And I think the honesty of humanity and in the entertainer is something really special that can't be created with a machine or a trampoline or a swing. Mm-hmm. When you see somebody up there that's vulnerable, that's being honest and sincere and presenting something, whether it's funny, dramatic, or, it doesn't matter. If it's rooted in honesty and sincerity, I think people will really, really be attracted to that. And that, you know, that's why I'm excited for, you know, and love somebody who can just get up on a microphone and tell a story. You know, a stand-up comedian who's very, very good is just telling stories. They're not telling jokes. They're telling stories. And you relate to them, and that's why you laugh. A singer who tells a song or sings a song very well and makes you cry is because he's told a story to you that you relate to, mm-hmm. and you become emotional. So I'm excited about the new shows that are coming. I'm excited to see Showstoppers. I have a lot of friends in it.
Yeah,
and so, you know, hey, and Steve's not going to let it fail. Let's not beat around the bush here. Steve Wynn's going to make that thing rock and roll. He'll keep it open for a long time and do whatever he can to make sure it's a success.
Well, you're right, Mark. It's the kind of show, these both of them, especially Showstoppers, are the kinds that might be reversing some trends in Las Vegas if they work. If they work, there will be some trends reversed. And your show will be in the middle of that because it's the kind of thing you were just talking about. And you do have a machine in your show, by the way, the smoke machine.
Yeah, that's right.
What is that thing called?
I also think your mullet is a machine.
Don't give anything away, Kat. Come on.
I won't give away the end of Rock of Ages.
No.
For the 9 people listening who don't know how
to. There you go. And the mullet, I think, is a machine in itself.
The mullet will end up in the Smithsonian. That's
hey, man, that mullet is coming with me. I don't care. I may even have to bring it out for the one-year party on Monday. I have to borrow it because it's pretty spectacular.
That should be the prize of one of your key giveaways next year.
We wouldn't sell any keys.
I would buy all of them. Then I would win. I've been shut out of the key thing all year.
All right, Mark Chinook, we got to wrap it up here, but thank you very much
for
your time.
Thanks for coming on.
We support you entirely.
No, thank you guys so much for having me. You've been huge supporters of everything I do, and it means the world to me.
And I will.
And everybody go get your tickets. There's the $20 tickets are left, or if you see Mark Chinook somewhere around town, give him $20.
MondaysDark.com. We've got $20 tickets, and I think there's a couple VIP boxes upstairs that seat 12, and it includes bottle service, and those are,
oh my God.
Call us. Call me. I'll come to your house. I don't care. I got a Prius. Good gas mileage.
But no Jeep yet. All right, Mark. Well, thanks for your time, and we'll see you Monday night, okay?
Talk to you guys soon. Love you. Bye.
We love Las Vegas. We love Las Vegas.